And this is the Community Connection Show with Greg Carrick here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And it's the Yarra Rangers Kindergarten Show again. It comes around so quick. And Andrew Wright is back in the studio, CEO of Yarra Rangers Kindergartens. So welcome again, Andrew.
Hi, Greg.
And today you've brought a guest in. Elisa.
Hello.
Forrest. And you're a teacher at two different kindergartens. How do you fit that in?
Do not ask. My day is very hectic. And what's more is I teach probably over the course of the week about 3 days.
Yep.
Very, very long days. And I'll talk a bit about that a bit later on. But and then I also have to fit in what's called our planning and prep time. So
yep.
Today, Mondays, is usually a day where I'm still at the kinder. And as I say to the children, Elisa's not teaching today. I'm in the office doing office stuff.
Mm.
So that's the fun stuff. No, it's not. It's the stuff we have to do, but the teaching stuff's the fun stuff, which I'll get to.
I mean, we all know as teachers in primary schools and secondary schools in particular, the teaching role requires a lot of work at home and on the weekends and on holidays.
Yes.
They're still teaching. They're still preparing things. But for a kindergarten teacher as well, it's...
Yes, you can ask my family about that.
Yeah.
I was at kinder yesterday. Yesterday was Sunday. Some days you just don't have enough hours in the day. And if you're not working... teaching, then you're planning, you're preparing, you're messaging other staff about ideas. Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and my poor husband, I'll be talking about kinder in my sleep. So yeah, it's a good job, but it's a really full-on committed job too.
And launching place in Lancaster, which one did you start with?
I started with Lancaster, Launching Place Kinder. So yep. I've been at Launch probably for about, must be coming up to 10 years.
Yeah.
We have 11, do we now, Andrew?
12.
12. 12 kinders under our cluster. So one management handles 12 kinders. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. They do it very well. And I have worked at quite a few of those preschools over a number of years. Predominantly it's been Launching Place and Warburton and in the Yarra Valley because that's where I live. So, and it's only been a couple of years ago that an opportunity came up to teach three-year-old at Lancaster preschool, and I took it for just something different, different part of my week, driving up to Moorabark. It's wonderful working there as well with some other great staff and great families. So... good experience to move around as a teacher.
Yeah. And for those listeners who are thinking, there's a bell ringing. I've heard this lady before. You do a gig on Saturdays.
I do, yes. My husband and I are working every second Saturday. We have a radio show after Wicked.
Yep.
Musical Maneuvers in the Dark. It's a tongue twister.
Mm.
And then just Saturday, just gone, we filled in for Lara for her show Wicked too. So yeah.
No,
there's plays
she
well.
She was going to a gig or something. Yeah,
yeah she was at some heavy metal gig.
Yeah.
So in my spare time, if I have it, I am usually here.
Volunteering. Fantastic. So, yeah, catch Musical Maneuvers in the Dark every Saturday.
Thank you.
From 10 p.m. is it or...?
We do the 10 till 12 with like the graveyard, as some of the other radio people tell us.
Yeah, fantastic. So there you go. There's a bit of interest as well.
Really good for kinder kids, though. Better point that out. But any families who stay up late Saturday nights, feel free to listen in.
See what Alyssa really gets up to.
You could just say that.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is the Yarra Rangers Kindergarten Show with Andrew Wright and Alyssa Forrest in today from Launching Place in Lancaster Kindergartens. Now, Alyssa, I've got some questions lined up here that have been pre-vetted, passed by committee, and I'm allowed to say them on air.
Great.
I've got to say I'm enjoying this show because
you're just sitting there doing them. Yeah.
Andrew's just having a sleep in the back corner there.
If I snore, just...
Okay, now this is a relevant question that I can ask because way back in my dim dark history, I didn't go to kindergarten.
Oh, dear.
My sister went to kindergarten for half a day.
Yep.
They didn't even bother trying me.
Wow.
Wow.
So I don't know really. I've never experienced it. So a normal kinder day, for a 3 or 4 year old, what does that entail?
Okay, well, first, can I say that's terrible that you didn't get a kindergarten. But then when my mum apparently told me, I went to a kindergarten, but it was very playgroup structured. Yeah, yeah. And I still have memories, I think about 3 or 4, of this beautiful wooden doll's house and wooden doll furniture, making cups of tea and all that. So and my dad picked me up on a bike. So I remember that. And it was free. So in my day, kindergarten was free to attend.
Yep.
So that's huge, just when you... It's mind-blowingly huge when you think, because it's quite costly now. But yeah, very, very beneficial for anybody that has children. And in the early years, there's so many stages of development that children naturally just go through. And kindergarten is one of those parts of early childhood that is a real important component to growing and blossoming into the beautiful children that we see.
That's why I'm so socially inept myself, because I never went to kindergarten.
And I mean, I mean, maybe you'll have to take heed of what I say, and then when you have children, really push them into kindergarten, because it was something you never got to experience, which is, a bit on the sad side. But unfortunately, when you're a child, you just, you know, you get told what to do.
I think it did have an effect, because then when I went to school, primary school, in the first year, I failed. I had to stay down and do it twice.
I can't even believe they say that still. Well, my husband told me
How can you fail prep?
No, that's just bizarre in itself. But I know my husband said in England when he was growing up, he didn't go to kindergarten either, and he tells me this story quite a bit for some reason, but he said he didn't cope going to school the first few times and ran away back home and hid under the stairs. Hid under his stairs because he was too scared to tell mum he didn't like school. So when you think about kinder, I guess you should think it's preparing children for school. So it's not only building upon those skills that children naturally develop, but it's also preparing them for big components of their life in education, which obviously is school. So we spend a lot of time in kinder planning, preparing, setting up meetings, reflecting, evaluating, planning, observing. There's a cycle. It's called a planning cycle, and it just goes on and on. Hence why it's called a cycle, because it just continues. So when children start at the start of the year, it can be quite daunting. It can be daunting for a lot of families if they've never been anywhere before. Some families, especially in the Yarra Valley, don't go to places like early learning centres and childcare, creches and playgroups. Not everybody has that opportunity. Yep. So some children are naturally quite fearful of preschool, nervous. Families are the same. So we spend a lot of time just building relationships with families, building relationships with children. We spend a lot of time meeting with families, getting to know the children, in their interests, what they like, what they don't like. A lot of settling in, getting them familiar with us as staff, because obviously if you view a tiny little person as they are when they walk in the door at the start of the year, meeting a whole bunch of usually women, but there are men childcare and kinder teachers out there. I've met a few of them, so hello if there are any listening. But yeah, it's very daunting for children. There's these new adults that mum's going to leave, or dad, or nan, and we're going to be stuck with people we don't know. So it's about just building those relationships and really working with the children and just allowing them, I think, to feel comfortable to be able to move around their space and get to know how the routine works and get to know the other children as well. Takes a time. Usually we allow first 2 terms is what we focus everything on, is just building those relationships. And with the families too. Families are really important to get to know, just because they know their children best. And everybody learns differently. Everyone's at different ages and stages in their development. So there's a lot that goes into just setting up a preschool program from the start of the year right till the end. And then we do it all again. So yeah. What does a normal kinder day look like? Well, for me, I teach Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays. So as I said before, Mondays is usually my prep and planning day. So I'll go into kinder, see all the children, do a whole lot of setup for the next day. I have 3-year-olds in the morning on a Tuesday morning. They come in. Then after their session finishes, I get a half an hour break, and then it's straight into the next 4-year-old session. And the difference, I guess, is the 4s come in on a Tuesday afternoon. They're there a lot longer than the 3s.
Yeah.
So we plan things just that little bit differently for each group too. So, but yeah, so my Tuesdays is approximately about an 11-hour day.
Yeah.
I get to work at 7 a.m. and I don't usually get home until around 7, just a bit before 7. So, yeah, you could say 12 hours, really. But, yeah, so it's a very long day. It's not always fun. Some days you just go, oh, my goodness, nothing's working. Other days, you know, there's rain, there's hail, there's snow. We had a day where there was no power, but we plod along and we just keep going. The children make it great. They are just beautiful. I think half the time we just wish our job would be to just be with them the whole time, not do all the planning side of it as much as what you have to in the documentation, but to just be with the children because they make it so great. They don't judge you. They laugh with you. And they just keep things going. So the day we had no power was funny because we had power initially at the beginning and we'd pre-warned all the children that we had no power. They were fine. They didn't even care. They thought it was great. We brought out torches. We were playing games. Yep. We were in and out. It was raining. We put on wet weather gear. We just made it. It was like some of the children actually said to me it was like camping.
Yeah.
So that was a great day. But, yeah, normally we do have power. And, yeah, it flows. But, yeah, there is a lot, like I said, planning and preparation that goes into each day and each week and each month and each year.
With all this planning, you think, oh, well, that's the, say, tomorrow sorted. So you have an expectation of what you're going to do. But then children would just throw curveballs at you all the time.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. How our structure of our planning works is we have a curriculum that myself and another fellow colleague will work on, and it's usually a whole term plan. So we have a rough idea. We map out the whole year at the start of the year, but within each term we sit down and we map out a whole term curriculum, particular areas that we want to focus on teaching the children. And then within that term planning, we'll have our week-by-week goals. We'll have our term goals, our weekly goals. And then we also do lots of observations and reflection. Yeah. And then if things come up, like you said, and we think, oh, that worked really, really well, or such and such wanted to do this, and I think we could add that in, then we're open to changing it around. I think flexibility is a huge component of being a teacher because you get so many phone calls and visitors and stuff happening that you do sometimes have to just go, that didn't work, we'll have to change it. A lot of our programs are play-based learning these days, which is fantastic because play-based, for those that don't know, there's a lot of learning within that play. So it's not just a matter of walking into a room and setting up a whole lot of toys and going, go for it. There's a lot of strategic planning and a lot of forethought and a lot of discussions with colleagues. I'm fortunate enough to work in an environment where I have a lot of talented staff to work with, and all of us bring something different to offer. So it just works. Hopefully that answered your question.
Absolutely.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
And it's 28 past one. This is the Yarra Rangers Kindergarten Show with Andrew Wright, who's sitting in the corner and hasn't said much yet.
I haven't snored yet.
And Alyssa Forrest is in from Launching Place in Lancaster Kindergartens. And we've been talking about what a typical day is at a kindergarten for a 3 or 4-year-old. And also the amount of work that Alyssa has to do just to get through a day with all those kids. Now, when you first turned up, you told me that before you became a kindergarten teacher, Alyssa, you had this plan, this goal to work in television, doing hair and makeup and stuff.
Yeah, I did. I did. I think my dad wanted me at one stage to be a flight attendant, but I wasn't tall enough. I was 5'4", and apparently back then you had to be at least, I think it was about 5'8" to reach those overhead lockers. So that wasn't going to happen. And then, yeah, I always had this idea that I wanted, I loved arts and anything creative. So I wanted to go out, I got into a couple of TAFE courses and then got into uni to do performing arts, but then I just wanted to focus on hair and makeup for stage production and TV and all that sort of stuff. And somehow, years and years later, I still didn't get there. I ended up being a kinder teacher. So try and figure that one out, because I'm still trying to figure out how that'll happen. But yeah, no,
bit
it's
of a circuitous route, but the training to be a kindergarten teacher.
Yes. Well, because I was doing so many other things and I wanted to travel and all those things that you want to do when you're young and you leave school and you don't have any real responsibility, you just want to have fun and enjoy life. I did my teaching degree many, many years later, and it wasn't until I had my own children that I realised just how much I loved being around children. Loved doing all the children's parties. I can feel parents shivering at that whole concept, but I loved it.
Yeah.
We did the great, you know, we'd spend till 3 a.m. making these beautiful cakes that were all, you know, Spider-Man and clocks and mice and whatever our children were interested in. And it was, yeah, it was a friend of mine many, many years ago when I used to take all the other children, my friends' children, with me wherever I went, or I'd be babysitting, and they said, why don't you work in that field? And then that's when I thought, yes, I will give it a go. And I started off in childcare. I got my Cert 3, worked in childcare and long day care services for a few years, and then went down the road of completing my diploma of children's services, and then my degree. And here I am in the Yarra Valley teaching. So, yeah, it's been, I think, if anyone out there is thinking of getting their teaching degree, it's very, very valuable. It's a wonderful profession to be in, especially if you love working with children. It's a lot of work. I won't lie and say that it's easy. It's not. I think at one point in time, people thought it was an easy road. If you were going to uni, you could do early childhood or you could do teaching and it'd be easy and fine breeze. It's not. It's very hard, especially when you come back. Someone like myself came back from studying and it had been, I think, a gap of 20 years, and I went back and exams, they scare me. It was awful. But yeah, you just go through it and you find, you know, your right support people. Again, I'm fortunate enough to work with a lot of fabulous teachers who have a lot of experience and knowledge that have been able to mentor me over the years, and that's been really helpful.
Yeah.
My advice to anyone would be get as much experience as you possibly can, just working in the field, whether it's through playgroups or sporting groups, or, you know, go and volunteer and help out in your local early years service, because I'm sure they would love to have you. And there's a lot of knowledge out there to be shared. When we have students, I love having students. We've just had a couple just recently, just to be able to share with them and guide them and talk them through.
Yeah.
You know, you make mistakes. Everybody does. You know, you have your good days and your not so good days, but it's so rewarding overall. It really is a fabulous profession. You just laugh a lot. You be silly a lot. And it's good fun.
Yeah. Some people have in mind too that running a kinder is just like running daycare. It's just sort of child sitting.
No.
So what is the difference?
No, there's a big difference just purely on like what I was explaining before about the planning side of it. There's a lot you need to know. You really need to have that grounding foundation in early childhood development and what that means. So when you go back to uni or if you go back to diploma studies, they really start at the very start. So you learn a lot about babies. I didn't find the baby side of it so interesting. And then they send you out on placements and you have to sit with babies for, you know, 8-hour days, which I didn't find that intriguing. I wanted to be with the slightly older and more energetic children. But yeah, you know, you learn a lot. You learn a lot about the different developmental areas and domains that children go through as they grow and mature and learn new skills. Even as simple as children that learn to smile and then wave, how they discover their hands and feet. And it just puts you in that whole mindset of when you see children out in the street or in the parks, you really see, that's what they were talking about. Yeah, I can see that child's learnt to, you know, when a child throws off their sock, which as a mum, I used to drive me nuts when a child in the pram, my son, who's now 18, he used to take off his sock and just one sock and throw it down continuously. And he'd put it back on, he'd throw it down, put it back on. But apparently that's part of their development. They are learning about precision of depth and throwing things. And, it doesn't come back. And, it's dropped to the floor. So there's so much learning. But when you don't know, you just think it's really annoying. And I mean, you know, children, they say, you know, when children come into a preschool service, and we have a lot of families where toilet training is quite an issue, and I have been through it myself. So as a mum, I think that helps when you're able to talk to families. But it just educating families that it's okay, it's normal. You know, if a child cries when you're leaving, that's okay, it's normal. If your child continuously wets themselves when they're at kinder, it's okay, it's normal. It's a part of their development. So you learn all this when you are studying. But also I think what helped me was having my own children, and I could go back and reflect and go, I understand what they were talking about now. But yeah, it's really important that if you are thinking about getting your degree, because we do need more teachers, it would be helpful if you did get a lot of experience, just knowing how children learn and develop their language skills, how they hold a pencil, all those little things that you could easily just not notice, you start to notice when you're studying. So, yeah, but if anyone is out there sort of pondering and thinking, oh, they're too old, or no, their time's gone, no, we need more mature-aged students and teachers too, because you don't have to be just fresh out of school to become a teacher. Anyone can become a teacher if you're committed and you love, like I said, love working with children. But it just helps, because if you've had children yourself, you have so much knowledge to bring to the field, so much.
Yep.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
21 minutes to 2 here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the Yarra Rangers Kindergarten Show, with Andrew Wright and his guest Alyssa Forrest in. And we've been talking kindergartens and what an average day would be like, but also what requirements are needed to be a kindergarten teacher, as opposed to, say, childcare or something like that. You, Alyssa, you plan out your day, you have these goals set that you have to, you know, that you want to achieve with the children when they're in, and then weird things happen. So what sort of funny stories have we got?
Weird things happen with kids
and animals.
Well, we have both, because we have animals at Kingdom as well. We want to have more animals. I'd love to have chickens, but I don't know if all the staff are on board with that. We're getting there. It's just a matter of, you have to think in terms of, are these animals going to be well looked after, and holidays, and how it's going to work. So we're still discussing that one. But we've got guinea pigs. We've got stick insects. What else? We've had a lot of visiting. We've had a lady who brought in all these lizards, which was amazing. We dig a lot up the garden for worms, bugs and snails, which I love anything slimy and lives in the soil, so I'm right okay with that. It's just amazing. Last week, I think one of my three-year-olds found these amazing long worms. They looked like snakes. They were just huge, and they were so excited. So we took some photos and did a bit of a write-up about it, had a bit of a discussion about, you know, what they, where they live and what they like. Apparently worms, here's a bit of knowledge, worms do not have eyes and ears, and they have, I think they have a mouth, but they don't, they don't have any eyes or ears, obviously hair, noses, so, and there's just two ends, so they just sort of slither. But yeah, the children thought that was hilarious when I was telling them that bit of information. But yeah, they thought that was great. But we also talked to them about appropriate care for our beautiful bugs and our insect life. So at the end of our session, we kindly put them back where we found them, or somewhere similar, so that not to disturb them. And
so you didn't tell the kids you can cut worms in half and they
No, we don't encourage that. We've had a few where we've squished snails, and I've said to a couple of children, I understand why you're doing that, because they get the veggies at home, and they do that at my house too, and it's not very friendly. But at Kinder, we like to keep the snails as well. They have their place, like spiders. We found a few redbacks. Found one actually on our veranda, very, very close to where the children were playing, under the table of all things. But instead of just killing it, we put him in a jar. One of our staff members is great. I just say, go and get the spider. And she's right there to grab the spider. We just put it in a jar, and we did an incidental learning activity just on the safety of spiders. Because in our environment, especially where we live in the valley, we are prone to, you know, some dangerous spiders and snakes. So any opportunity that we can have, probably not snakes because I'm frightened of them, I've told all the children that, but spiders I'm okay with. So we just will have a discussion about spiders, and we can't touch spiders, but we can look at them, we can admire them, they have their place in our environment, but we just don't touch them if you see a spider. We sort of list the steps of what you need to do. I've got a few heroic boys in my group that will always tell me, Lisa, I'll catch the snakes for you. So they'll feel very well protected at Kinder with my children there. But so what did you want to know? You want to know some funny things? There's so many. I mean, every day is a funny, we just laugh. Like I said earlier, we just laugh the whole day. We do funny dances. A few of them were laughing at my dance the other day. I have Spotify on my phone, so I might play that, and we'll do a bit of a dance during our music. I love music and movement, so we have a scheduled sort of time where we'll have music and movement. It's about moving our bodies and about building up core strength and balance and hand-eye coordination. But I'll make it fun. So we'll have, last fortnight on the planning sheet was to do a scarf dance. And I was trying to work out the best way to do a scarf dance with children, and I was sort of running a few ideas in my head, and nothing sort of went to plan. So we ended up, I played some classical music and we just danced to how we felt, and we could use the scarves as tools if we wanted to. Then I decided to download the Shrek soundtrack, and they just went completely nuts. But it was fun, you know, they just danced. And then we turned it from that into, I could see it was getting a bit out of control, so then we just, being flexible, as you have to be in this field, I turned it into a freeze game.
Yep.
So when the music stops, you have to stop and freeze. And then, you know, point of elimination, people have to go out, which is not always popular. And then, yeah, there's a few people left as winners. But yeah, so that's where being flexible comes into it, but also just having fun. You know, it's always funny moments. There's one in particular that I can tell you. I was doing a game with the children. We were about to go inside, and so we were bringing them all into the, our veranda is sort of the first place we go before we go inside. We do a head count, and then we have a bit of a game. And I was doing a game where you rub your hands together, then you rub your, you know, your knees, your shoulders. It was like a copy the teacher kind of, Simon Says kind of game. Then I said, rub your cheeks together, and I was saying rub your cheeks as in your cheeks on your face, and I got all the children to rub their cheeks. One little girl stood up and was rubbing her bottom cheeks.
Yep.
And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm rubbing my cheeks. So that was what she interpreted as rubbing your cheeks. Everyone else knew I was saying cheeks on your face, but she interpreted as rubbing your bottom cheeks, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. They're very lateral, literal and lateral children.
Yep, absolutely.
What you say, sometimes you might mean something in particular, but they might interpret that as something completely different. So, and that's where the funny and the humorous sort of side of it comes out too, because they're just hilarious to listen to most days.
Do you see some basic personality types, like you get in the Peanuts series, you know, you've got your Linuses and you...
Oh, yeah, Lucy's definitely. Yes, I think I can see myself in the Peanuts series quite a bit. Yeah, we do. We definitely do. And sometimes I'll sit back and I'll just observe. I was observing some children the other day, and it was just a beautiful moment. I wish I'd captured it on camera, but I didn't have one on me. But I was telling the other staff that there was three children sitting on a little grassy area right at the back of the kinder, and I was sort of nearby and I was watching them. They were having a meeting, and there was just three of them in the grass, and they were having, and I crept up on them and I just sat in the meeting wondering if they would allow me to join their space or not, because sometimes they might tell you to go away, and that's okay. We respect children and their views. They might not want an adult there. But no, they were quite happy for me to join in, and they all took turns in discussing, what were they discussing? They were discussing about what they could do with the bike track. And it was just amazing just to sit and watch these children just, you know, discuss all their ideas about what they could do with the bike track, and how they could crash bikes, and how they could... So they had all these ideas lined up, and then I added mine, and then off they went.
Yep.
So it was just...
Meeting adjourned.
Yeah, you're meeting adjourned. It was just priceless. It's one of those, you know, that ad where they say priceless.
Yep.
Yeah, there's so many moments like that in our job, which is great.
I'm going to embarrass my daughter now, because when she was probably... three or something, went into her room and at night, and she was there on her bed, and she had some dolls lined up on the bed, and I said, oh, what are you doing? And she said, I'm playing committee meeting.
And I thought, that's what you love to
our
do.
Lifestyle has to change.
Yeah, no, that's the other thing I should mention too. There are a lot of meetings in our field. You think corporate when you think meetings, but there's a lot of meetings. We have meetings about meetings. I think there's a coffee man that I stop at on my Wednesday, because my Wednesdays I have two boys and they go off to school down the line, so I drop them on the way to Lancaster. They think it's wonderful because we stop at the coffee shop on the way, and it's lovely because it's my one time to kind of have that time with them as well. But yeah, we get our morning coffee, and the coffee man knows more about our day than what we anticipate at times, because I said to him, he said, how was your day? And I said, oh, I've got, you know, I'm teaching, and then I've got another meeting, and then I've got another meeting after that, and another meeting later in the week. And he said, you have meetings just to have meetings about meetings. And I said, yeah, it can get a bit like that. It can get really crazy. Andrew can vouch for that, I'm sure.
For sure.
Andrew loves meetings. He's always at meetings.
Yep.
And if he's not at meetings, he's coming around visiting us or answering phone calls or emails from us. So that's what we do. That's the other thing we do in our job too. If we're not teaching, we're on the computer.
Yeah.
The computer. And I say that with haste, because it's not my favourite place to be. Because, you know, you get so many emails, you get so many phone calls. And it's the way of the future, I know, but sometimes you just think, oh, I just want to be out there teaching. I don't want to be on the computer anymore.
Yep, do some real work.
Yeah.
And it's 8 minutes to two, Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the Community Connection Show with Andrew Wright and Alyssa Forrest in, talking kindergarten teaching and kids and all the strange things that happens. And one of the fun things about kinder is, and even primary school that I remember, was being able to go out on excursions. That was always exciting.
It's even just exciting. Waiting for them
to get on the big bus. Yeah. So what do excursions actually achieve for a child?
I love excursions. I think it's a highlight of, and not every teacher does love excursions. I think I'm just weird that way, because you talk to other teachers, they're like, no, not excursions. Yep. Yes, there is that side of, there's a lot of paperwork that you have to get through to, in order to take your children anywhere past our front gate. But once you sort of get your head around that, excursions can be predominantly a huge highlight for the children, but also it can kind of sum up what you've been teaching them all year.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of skills and goals and things that we do within our day-to-day program, but you can really see that taking effect when they're out into the community. With Launching Place Preschool in particular, we have a lot packed into our program, which we discuss with the families at the start of the year just to give them an idea. Sometimes that changes. And it depends on the children that we have in our group each year. It's a bit different to what they'll be interested in, but also what they, how much they can take on, because some of the excursions can be quite a huge day. For example, at the end of this year, and probably November, I don't even think Andrew knows about this one yet, but we are going to take our beautiful four-year-old groups on the train to the Melbourne Aquarium. We've done that a couple of years ago, and it was just amazing. The children just love it, and it is a bit of time in preparation. We spend probably 2 weeks prior to going just talking about the aquarium, the Melbourne Aquarium in particular, and we talk about riding on the train, because a lot of children, you don't realise, haven't been on a train before, so it's a huge experience for them. And we even go as far as we make up books, we sing songs, we have a lot of discussions, and we show a lot of visuals just so the children are prepared in what they will see and some of the things that they'll do there, because at the Melbourne Aquarium are fantastic. They really accommodate us well, knowing that we're all the way from the Yarra Valley and it's a huge trip in. They have a little room that they take the children into, like an education room, and they do their own sort of formal learning in there, and families are always invited to come along too, and siblings, so we make it like a really fun day out, because family involvement is really important to us as well. So any excursions that we do, we're always looking for families to join in and participate. And they don't have to do anything, just be part of their own child's learning and enjoyment. But yeah, so the Melbourne Aquarium is one fantastic day. A couple of years ago, we walked through a park when we were going to the aquarium, and there were some homeless people in the park, and that sparked up a lot of conversation. So now we usually talk to the children about, you know, and you will see people who have beds in the park, and what does that mean, and what does that look like? Just so that it's not too much of a shock, because out in the Yarra Valley, they might not see that sort of thing. The other thing that was quite funny that we realised on one of our excursions to, I think it was the Melbourne Museum, escalators. Children are not used to escalators. Yep. I used to live in inner city Melbourne, so I was just used to, I don't know, going into shops and going on escalators. No idea that escalators would be a problem, but children, you'd get to an escalator and they would freeze.
Yep.
So we had to educate children on how to stand on an escalator before they went on them, just to avoid any accidents.
Yeah. It's tricky potentially, isn't it?
Yeah, very tricky. I think between myself and a few other staff members on the day, we had like four children all around us holding onto them, just in case they all kind of tumbled and we all fell down the escalators together. It was quite bizarre, but yeah, it's just something, another little thing that we've in reflection upon how our day went, that we really need to discuss escalators as well. Other things that we do throughout the year is we have shows come and visit us, so we have like Melbourne Museum bring a whole lot of bones and dinosaur fossils, which is fantastic. We've got a puppet show coming up in a couple of weeks for our threes. We have a lizard show for the fours. We have water safety pet responsibility program. We have so many visitors that come into the show, and also we're open to suggestions from families. So we had a family this year who had a truck business.
Yep.
They came and brought some of their great big digger trucks came and visited the kinder. It was fantastic. We took the children out into the car park and they got to have a look at some of the really big trucks. They thought that was amazing. Fire trucks are the same. So if CFA, preferably not during fire season. But yeah, they come and visit. And then we do lots of other things as well. Like we went to Lilydale Art Gallery. We had an art module that we did in term two. So we went and visited them at Lilydale. That was fantastic. And we did libraries and obviously school visits as it's coming up to that transition time where the children are going off to school. So we work really closely with our local schools, which are great. And yeah, with all of that comes lots, like I said before, lots of paperwork. So we have to fill out forms. We have a risk assessment that we have to always fill out. Anywhere we go beyond our gate, we have to make sure that's up to date and accurate, just to cover ourselves, obviously. Yeah. You know, you have to think about, you have to take quite a lot with you. You have to take emergency bag filled with all your different emergency things that you need. We have a list that we go by. Parents have to sign in and out as a legal requirement as well. When we're travelling on public transport and anywhere that's not in the local community, we're very mindful of stranger danger. I think the rulings changed now. Over years ago, you used to have a badge and you'd have your child's name and you'd have the number of the preschool. Nowadays, because of that reason, we have what's called wristbands. So we just have the name of the preschool on there, so if anyone does get lost. But the children are so well behaved on excursions. They're just amazing. Just even crossing busy roads. We crossed Flinders Street, we crossed at a busy, really busy, prominent time, and they were fantastic at knowing what to do. So it just, yeah, it's really about preparing them, but also it's amazing when you're actually there watching them and watching their faces as they go through tunnels on trains. And, you know, when the dinosaur people come and they bring the big head of what was the dinosaur? It was like a Tyrannosaurus Rex head or something. And when they uncover it, it's just amazing to watch their faces.
If I could make a comment too, that's also because they trust you too, isn't it?
They do, yes. Oh, definitely. And that's because term one and term two, we spend a bulk of our time building those trusting relationships with families and with children.
Yeah.
And if we didn't do that, we wouldn't be able to do half the things that we do within our programs.
Yeah.
Because families need to trust us too. We're responsible for their children. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating taking kids from a more rural environment like this into the city.
The first time they've seen
such heavy traffic, first time I've seen trams and things. And
and you talk about it and you reflect. So we do a lot of reflecting discussions with our children. So you talk about it even when we come back to kinder. What were some of the highlights that you liked? What were some of the things you didn't like? What are some of the things that made you feel a bit worried or scared? Or what was your favourite thing? So we do a lot of discussions about it and reflection afterwards as well as before too. But it's all good fun. And when you see all that, you know, I turn back into a five-year-old when I'm there as well. When you go and see the penguins and you think of, you know, all the little penguin movies that are out now, and it's just so and well, apparently they're called starfish. We all know them as starfish, but I was told recently they're now changed the name and they're called sea stars. So this is this is the other thing with preschool that you learn is the names change.
All right.
Different things.
Well, thank you very much, Alyssa.
No worries.
Taking over the show. Andrew will have to come in next time.
I'm so sorry. I warned you. Once you get me started, I won't stop.
All right. Fascinating stuff for the insight into a kindergarten teacher.